an unsettled quarterback situation, a new contract for Quinn and Williams, Sauce Gardner's Pro Bowl odds. We'll discuss all of this and more on today's mailbag edition of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. It helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find the podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Well, I hope you're safe if you're traveling today. I know it's a big travel day. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Today we have our weekly mailbag show. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions. Each Wednesday we try and do a mailbag. So we'll begin, and obviously there are plenty of questions about the quarterback situation for the Jets. We'll begin with a question about Zach Wilson. Assuming Zach Wilson starts on Sunday, how long will his leash be? He's guaranteed to be booed on his first misstep. How much more ineptitude until he gets pulled? And this is something Robert Saleh will likely address today. I would expect that we will know who's starting the game against the Bears today, because Wednesday is the day the game plan begins to get installed in the NFL. So this is when, you know, the reps actually begin to matter as you prepare for the game in practice. It seems like, and this is just pure guessing, but it seems like the thought is from most fans and, you know, some in the media, is that Zach Wilson probably starts Sunday. You know, it wouldn't be shocking, though, to see the Jets go to Mike White or even maybe Joe Flacco. But, you know, it seems like people are, at least the expectation, whether or not it turns out that way, we don't know. But it seems like the expectation is that Zach Wilson will start on Sunday. But it seems ominous, the fact that we're even having this discussion, because it shows you Robert Saleh is at least considering benching Zach Wilson. So even if he starts on Sunday, you know that Zach Wilson now needs to perform to keep the job. How much leeway will the Jets give him? Well, the way I look at it is kind of like this. I feel like, you know, if you're going to bench him after 2-3 series, if he's got 2-3 series to turn it around, I don't really see what the point of doing that is. I mean, if you're to the point where you have so little confidence in him that he has to show something immediately, you might as well start White or Flacco, because there's nothing really to be gained by, you know, putting a quarterback in a situation where he doesn't get much time to produce. So the question is whether it's going to be a situation like that, or whether it's going to be a situation where, you know, if he plays as badly as he did against New England in the first half. And he's had other games like that this year where he's just been horrible for, you know, a half or even a full game. And you give him two quarters, and it's like, even if he's playing okay, you leave him in. But if he's just horrible the way he was against New England, then you pull him. To me, that's a situation that makes more sense. Because on Sunday, Zach Wilson's play was so poor that the Jets easily could have justified pulling him. And frankly, the best thing Zach Wilson's got going for him right now is that the Jets don't really have a good backup option. You know, Mike White threw 8 interceptions, 132 pass attempts last year. And Joe Flacco, the numbers look good, but the numbers have been really padded by late game situations where he was facing prevent defenses. If you look at Flacco's performance during the competitive portion of games this year, it's really not that great. I think it's an open question. We don't really know where the Jets are going to fall on this, but I would say, you know, if it's a situation where they're kind of close to done with Zach Wilson and they're just looking for confirmation, and it's just going to be, you don't do something immediately, you're pulled, at that point, it shows you don't have faith in him. And you might as well spend the week of practice preparing the guy you do have faith in, or the guy you have more faith in, whether that's Mike White or whether that's Joe Flacco. Whereas, you know, if it's a situation where they believe in Zach, you know, they still believe in Zach Wilson to a certain extent, but they're just sending a message, you know what, if you play that badly, you're going to be benched. That to me makes more sense. My guess is probably closer to the latter, because I don't think it really makes sense to give Zach Wilson two, three series and then put him on the bench. I think it's more, there's going to be accountability if for poor play now. I think it's going to be something more akin to that than it would be Zach Wilson getting a very, very short window to prove himself. Our next question. I think Zach needs to play to get better, and I'm okay with him getting benched here and there when he plays like he did on Sunday. That said, Mike White has no ceiling. I think the Jets should have Strevler on the active roster just to come in certain situations and either use him as a wildcat or use him kind of how New Orleans uses Taysom Hill as a gadget guy. What do you think? So I think I've used the Taysom Hill analogy with Strevler before, and I probably should have backed off on that because we don't really know that Strevler can do everything that Taysom Hill does. You know, Taysom Hill, through his career, has lined up at various different spots. Taysom Hill showed a lot of versatility, and we don't really know Strevler can do that. Taysom Hill's played a lot of special teams in his career, and we don't know that Strevler can do that. I think you could argue that there could be a Strevler package at some point. I don't have a big issue with that if you want to. I think it would primarily be, though, as in the situation that you mentioned, kind of like as a wildcat guy, a change of pace guy. And, in today's NFL, it feels like whenever you're calling for the wildcat, you're kind of out of ideas on offense because the wildcat, has kind of gone away. Although I think the principles behind it are pretty sound. It's really power football. And I think if there was a team that committed to the wildcat, it could still be an effective tool for an offense. And I think that it's something that could definitely pay benefits in short yardage situations. The Jets are at a point where they need to try and manufacture something on offense. So, they're trying just throwing everything they can at the wall. I think it could make sense to create a package for Strevler. I don't know, do you want to make it a big part of your offense? Because I'm not convinced Strevler can really throw. I understand he had that spectacular preseason where he led the Jets to 3 comeback wins in the fourth quarter. But it's not just that it was against guys who really aren't NFL-level players. It was also, if you watched him, he was not a very prolific passer. He was not making a lot of difficult reads, and I'm not even sure he really has an NFL-caliber arm at this point. A lot of his passes sailed. There were some ugly passes. He threw a couple interceptions. He could have thrown more interceptions than he did. So it's fine. It's fine as a change of pace kind of guy. If you start White, maybe you mix in Strevler to just try and manufacture something, but I don't know that Strevler's going to be a big part of the offense. And, I'm probably the one who brought up the Taysom Hill thing, so I probably am the person you heard that analogy from, so I can't, I have to take some blame for this, but, thinking this through, I'm not sure Strevler brings everything to the table that Taysom Hill brings. Now, head here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're going to talk about the side of the ball that is working for the Jets. That's the defense. Can a rookie make the Pro Bowl? What will it take? I'll tell you what I think as we continue this Wednesday mailbag edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. This episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, Canada, the UK, and coming soon to Australia. You can book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip, get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. You can test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits into your everyday life. Maybe you're traveling for Thanksgiving. Maybe you're heading to MetLife Stadium on Sunday for the Jets versus the Bears, and you need a way to get there. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo, Turo.com. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms. We continue with our weekly mailbag show. Our next question: what are your thoughts on Sauce Gardner or maybe any of the other rookies making the Pro Bowl? So the Pro Bowl is not 100% based on merit. And the Pro Bowl, as much as I do it, and I have to get away from this, we tend to use Pro Bowl appearances to say a player had a great season, where the Pro Bowl is really based, as much as it is on quality of play, it's based on reputation. So you need to be getting media buzz. And that's the reason I think Sauce Gardner is probably going to make it, because he's been great, but it's not enough to just be great. People have to notice that you're great. because the Pro Bowl, and you know, part of it's through the years they've had like the fans vote on it. A lot of it is based on name recognition. You know, there aren't many people who are breaking down the film in a comprehensive way for all 32 teams or, you know, all 16 teams in a conference. So a lot of it is media buzz. A lot of it is based on things that, you know, really go beyond what you're doing on the field. Sauce Gardner is playing at a high level, but the other aspect of this is he's actually generating quite a bit of buzz. People know that Sauce Gardner is good, and that's half the battle. So I think Sauce Gardner is going to make it. And it's probably because he was a top five pick. So his name, who was already on people's radar as a potential elite corner, but also what the Jets are doing this year. It's tougher to get on the Pro Bowl if you're on a bad team. When you're on a good team and you're on a unit where people are noticing that you're playing well, the way that people are noticing the Jets defense is playing well, it becomes far easier for you to make a Pro Bowl berth, for you to get one, because everybody knows the Jets defense is playing great. Everybody knows that this especially the pass defense and the coverage by Sauce Gardner is excellent. So it's a situation where I think Sauce Gardner is going to make it. You know, the other rookies, Breece Hall would have made it if he stayed healthy. You know, he was another guy who was not only playing great, but generating a lot of buzz. So, you know, Breece would have made it. I don't think any of the other rookies are going to make it. I don't think Garrett Wilson, it's maybe not Garrett Wilson's fault because we've seen the quarterback play, but Garrett Wilson is not doing it at a consistent enough level probably to make the Pro Bowl. You know, Jermaine Johnson, he's playing fine, but he's not playing at a level that would really merit Pro Bowl consideration or the attention you need to get to a Pro Bowl. And after that, you know, Michael Clemens is looking like a really... Michael Clemens, I think, looks like a keeper. He looks like a good rotational player at the very least, and maybe he can grow into a little bit more. But if it was based on the preseason, Michael Clemens would make the Pro Bowl. But I think for a fourth-round rookie, he's still playing pretty well. Max Mitchell really wasn't playing that great, and Jeremy Ruckert's really not a factor right now. So it's going to be Sauce, I think. I think there will be one rookie who makes the Pro Bowl for the Jets. I think it will be Sauce Gardner. Our next question. John, I found that loss to be a real gut punch. The last time I think a loss hurt that badly was probably the season finale of 2015 when the Jets missed the playoffs. How do you rate it? And do you think a loss hurting that much is a good sign because it shows the team is turning it around and is competitive? They're becoming a team that we have belief in. It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking the same thing after Sunday's game because it was a crushing loss, but in a way, and maybe this is kind of sad because it shows you how bad the Jets have been, but in a way it felt nice to actually care enough about the game because I just get the feeling that there's been a lot of apathy in this fan base over the last couple of years because it's like you never had any hope. There was never any real legitimate belief that the team could turn things around. There was never any belief. I mean, the Jets, since 2015, they've pretty much been out of the playoff race by the middle of October. They really have not contended. The only year they even came close to 500 since 2015 was 19. They finished 7-9, but even that year they were 1-7 at the beginning, so they were never really in the playoff race. I agree. I think it is nice to care about. I think it's nice to have a game where you can actually get... It's not nice to be upset. It's not nice to have a game where you become upset, but it's a sign the fans care again. And it's one of those things... I think people had just kind of tuned the Jets out. I think there was a portion of the fan base that just got tired of it, and it's understandable. I mean, I may have been there myself if I wasn't doing a podcast every day on the Jets, where you just say, you know what, when the team's good, I'll come back, but I don't want to watch this bad football every Sunday. So now people are back, and now you can be emotionally invested. I'll tell you, that Buffalo game is probably as fired up as I've been in some time for a Jets game, when the Jets went out there and beat the Buffalo Bills 2-3 weeks ago. That was great. So it's a sign the team's turning the corner. I get the sense that people are interested in the team again. You know, I think that a lot of fans who had kind of left the team are now returning. And I think that that's, it's a very exciting time to be a Jets fan. Next question. Do you think Mike White could put up better numbers with this year's receiver and tight end group? Not sure what weapons he had available to him last year. All right, well, let's separate the receivers and the tight ends, because the tight ends... We know if you followed the show, and if you haven't followed the show, you should know that my feelings on Jets tight ends are not very positive. I think whenever you improve the situation around a player, odds are the production's going to go up. You know, you put better receivers around a quarterback, their production will get better. You know, Mike White did not have Garrett Wilson last year. Elijah Moore did play really well when Mike White was in the lineup last year, so he has him. if the Jets get Corey Davis back, that certainly would help. But I think, you know, the big difference would be Garrett Wilson. Having Garrett Wilson would be a huge boost to whoever's playing quarterback. So would Mike White's numbers go up? I think they probably would. I think anybody's numbers would go up if you go from the Jets' 2021 receiving cast and you add Garrett Wilson to the mix. But there are two parts of any play. There's the quarterback part and the non-quarterback part. And improving the non-quarterback part is going to, you know, make the offense more productive. But it doesn't mean the quarterback play is necessarily better. It just means you have a better receiver in the game. You're not really improving the quarterback. You're improving the parts that aren't the quarterback. The production increase is not coming because the quarterback's playing better. That's what I'm getting at here. So, yeah, Mike White's numbers would be better. Would he be a better quarterback, though? You know, I don't know. Again, I go back to, he's got a, I don't know if it's bad decisions or whether he's just trusting his arm too much and trying to make throws he couldn't make. And on some level, the question was academic, but there were just too many mistakes for Mike White last year. You know, if Mike White played the way he played, if Mike White played his style and cut down on the turnovers, he could be an effective quarterback. That, for me, that's the biggest question. You know, I talked a lot about Mike White's arm. And again, maybe this plays into it because he could be just trying to fit balls that he can't fit into windows. He maybe doesn't understand his own limitations, but Mike White's inability to protect the ball actually kind of makes me question him more than anything else at this point. Now, head here on the Locked On Jets podcast. We will close out this weekly mailbag show here on Thanksgiving week. We'll talk about Quinnen Williams. We'll talk about a potential new contract. I'll give you my thoughts ahead here on this Wednesday episode. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by LinkedIn. The Jets are having trouble finding a quarterback right now. I'm not sure they'll be able to use LinkedIn Jobs to address that situation, but your business might be able to when you're hiring. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business, and you want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's easy to create a job post on LinkedIn Jobs, then add the job and your purple hashtag hiring frame to the LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Would you believe the Jets are actually favored this weekend at home against the Bears? It feels like they've been underdogs every week, even though they're 6-4. Odds makers have not been giving the Jets a lot of respect. Things may be beginning to change, though, oddly after a loss, but if you want to put money down on that game or any other, you should know that betonline.net is your number one source for sports betting, stats, news, and analysis. You can get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net, and if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They are the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on a Mailbag Wednesday edition. Our next question. Hey, John, let's say the following things are true. Quinnen Williams is playing really well, but it's not so much that he's turning elite. It's more that the other players around him are elevating his play. Do you still pay him as an elite player? Do you incentivize his contract to match his payday to the numbers? What do you do as a GM if you knew deep down that Quinnen still is and still and always will be just a good player, but a guy who's now surrounded by other great players who are lifting him up? Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I think Quinnen Williams is the guy who's lifting everybody else up. He's playing at a phenomenal level, but you know, let's go through the question. I'll tell you what I think. I said this before the season when I did not think Quinnen Williams would reach this level, when I thought Quinnen Williams was just merely a good player. I thought the Jets should pay him. I thought the Jets should lock him up, because at some point you got to lock up young talent. It's not going to destroy the cap to keep Quinnen Williams. You know, you can keep your best player on your team. I think the cap is frequently misinterpreted. It's the more peripheral guys who, you know, eventually you have to get rid of when you have a tight cap situation. It's never going to be like the best player on your team who has to go. You can always find a way to fit in the best player on your team. And Quinnen Williams was a very good player. Now, he's elevated his game this year. Yeah, in an ideal world, it would be great if you could make the deal based on incentives. But if the Jets don't pay Quinnen Williams what he wants, some team out there is going to. So if you're Quinnen Williams, you really don't have any reason to take an incentive-laden deal. You've played great football this year. And I don't think this is a contract you ever look back on and regret. There are deals where you overpay and you say, that's a horrible, like a Trumaine Johnson type contract or a CJ Mosley contract, where you just say, that's just a horrible contract. Then there are the deals where maybe it's like, all right, that's a little too much money, but I can live with it. And I feel like at the worst, that's what the Quinnen Williams contract is going to be. I don't think you'll ever look back on that and say, that's a horrendous deal. I think you got to, who are you going to get that's better? And that's the other thing is, you let Quinnen Williams go, how are you replacing him? So you can't just do it 100% based on, oh, this guy is going to be paid as like, he's going to get the fifth highest salary in the league. Is he the fifth best guy? That's one way to look at it. But you also have to consider, you know, who could you get to replace him for less money who's going to play as well or close to as well? And I do not think there are many guys out there. So I've been in favor of giving Quinnen Williams a big contract even before it was popular, even before he was playing so well. So I'm still on board with giving Quinnen a big contract. Our next question. It seems like so much of Wilson's inefficiencies come from bad mechanics, especially his footwork. Do you think it's because he can make off-balance throws like Rodgers and Mahomes? Maybe he becomes lazy with his footwork? You know, I don't think he's making very accurate off-balance throws. Maybe he did at BYU, but I think he's been pretty shaky when he's been on the move, and it's changed from college. I think what could be the case, and this happens with a lot of college players, is you can dominate in college just on pure talent. You know, if you're good enough, you can just dominate guys and you don't need to use good technique. And that's what happened a lot at BYU, where, you know, he was throwing balls into traffic that NFL caliber players were going to pick off or break up. But he was able to just fit them into windows because the guys he was facing weren't that good. There's a big discrepancy in college between a good player and a bad player. So the good player can succeed without using great technique. Whereas in the NFL, the discrepancy is far closer. You know, I should stop doing this. You know, I say this guy's not very good. But the truth is, even a bad player in the NFL is just like at the top 0.01% of players, probably, and that's probably underselling it. You have to be a practice squad player in the NFL, you have to be a phenomenal football player. And while good players will beat bad players in the NFL more often than not, a quote-unquote bad player in the NFL is still good enough to win at various points. You know, that's why you see, you know, every week you see some upset in the NFL and people say, how did that happen? Well, it happened because the underdog still has a bunch of really good football players. They may not be as good as the team that they beat, but they're still good enough to pull an upset. In the NFL, you need to have good technique. I mean, that's what it comes down to, because you can't just win on talent alone. Because even if you're more talented than the other guy's really good. If the other guy uses good technique and you don't, you're going to lose. And Zach Wilson, you know, I think you said it, his footwork's not good. I think that's that leads to a lot of the inaccuracy you're seeing. And it's not going to be easy to fix. People always ask, is this fixable? Well, anything's fixable in theory. You know, there are always guys you can point to who can fix a technical problem like footwork, but it's not easy. It's, you know, not everybody's able to do it. More guys fail than are successful in fixing your footwork. So it's going to be a tough road. But I don't know if it's necessarily that he makes off-balance throws. I think it's that maybe he was able to succeed in college without using good technique. He was able to get away with things that he can't in the NFL. And our last question. I understand it sometimes takes time for a quarterback to get established and find himself in the NFL. Even Josh Allen had a rough start, both on and off the field. But Zach has been coddled ever since he set foot in an NFL locker room. This is why I loved Salah's comments on Monday. You have to earn it, and quite frankly, Zach Wilson has done nothing to earn his starting job. Do you think Salah's comments alone are enough to wake Zach Wilson up, or does he need to spend some time on the bench and watch Mike White and Joe Flacco execute the offense? You know, I can't answer that, but, you know, one thing that I never understand the way NFL teams operate the quarterback position is they act like forcing a quarterback to win the job is just going to mentally destroy him. And it makes no sense, because when you draft a quarterback high, and you hear all these comments from the team saying, like, we believe this guy, he's so tough, he's going to be a leader in the locker room. You know, this guy's going to be able to lead us through any sort of adversity. And then we act like the adversity of just, like, asking him to be better than the other quarterbacks on the roster is a hill that's just too much to climb, that'll just destroy the quarterback mentally. So I think that's part of what should go into the decision. People keep, you know, I keep seeing people say, well, Zach Wilson needs to play, he needs to learn, his development's more important than anything. Well, part of development is earning your way on the field. Part of your development is being better than Joe Flacco and Mike White. If you're not there, then you need to work on it, and maybe you need to develop to get better than Joe Flacco and Mike White. So I agree. I'm always for accountability, because when you hand guys jobs, it just you lose games. You can say, you know, we're developing a player, but I mean, look at what Zach Wilson's done this year. Do you think like this is really that much of a learning experience? Does it feel like he's learning things? You can learn just as easily from the bench, so I have no issue with it. I think Zach probably starts, and my sense is that there's not really a big difference. Like, I see people like getting upset at the idea of Zach starting. I see people getting upset at the idea of Zach being benched. I don't know that there's really a right or wrong answer here, and that's bad considering Zach should be way better than the other guys. But I think like the odds of like getting a good game out of any of these three quarterbacks on Sunday is probably about equal. But I don't think it's a bad thing that Zach's being forced to earn the job, because part of developing is being better than the other players on your roster and proving it and earning the role. And I like that Robert Saleh is forcing him to do that. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. And please give the show a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source, or a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Hope you have a great Wednesday and happy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful day tomorrow, and please travel safe.